Well, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we're back in this great passage, coming to another item of the armour. So we're in Ephesians and we're in chapter 6. In verse 16 we read, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come now to study thy word, oh Father, bless us today. We ask thee especially for any who feel that they're being defeated, that they're under sustained attack by Satan. Oh Father, comfort them and give them that courage and confidence in the Lord. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Let me just remind you by way of introduction, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned in the capital city of the empire in Rome. He is a prisoner of the Emperor Nero, and therefore he's under the guard of Nero's elite regiment of soldiers called the Praetorian Guard. And as he dictates this letter to, as it were, a secretary, Tychicus, in other words, Paul, we don't believe, actually took the pen and wrote it. He had a man who would do that for him. And that's why at the end, it may say in your Bible at the end, written by Tychicus. He wrote the letter, wrote it out by hand, and of course carried it like a postman to deliver it to the city of Ephesus. But it's Paul that wrote it in the sense of composing it so that the other one would write it down. But as he did so, there would have been a soldier or soldiers around him. And of course he could see them wearing their characteristic armour. And when he noticed that armour every day, it reminded him of spiritual truth and how alert we ought to be. There are things that happen to us every day. We see objects around us. It ought to remind us of spiritual truth. When the Lord Jesus Christ met a woman at a well, do you know what he talked about? Water. When he met fishermen, do you know what he talked about? Fish. We ought to be on the alert for everything we see around us. I remember reading a book for young preachers years ago on the art of preaching, and the man said, you should sit down in your study and record in the next 15 minutes at least 100 illustrations you can use for your sermons. And that's difficult. But I know what he's getting at. We just drift through life and we don't stop when things happen. Is there an illustration here of spiritual truth? Can we learn something from this incident that teaches us about the Lord? My, when you saw the lovely sunshine this morning, did you say to yourself, thank God for the sun in the sky, but thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is my sun, and shine the sunshine of the Saviour's presence into my life? Well, I'm saying that when Paul, being a spiritual man who knew, like our Puritan forefathers did, and they were very strong in this, if you read any of the Puritans, that you ought to, in meditating upon the Lord, take the everyday things that you see when you're travelling in the car or walking, items in your house all around you, ought to be using those things to remind us of the Lord and spiritual truth. Paul knew that. And Paul looked at that armour and he thought, ah, that reminds me of spiritual truth. We're in a battle. And you know, we ought to have spiritual armour. And then I've no doubt he remembered back in the book of Isaiah 11 and 5, where it said the coming Messiah would be girded, would have a belt of faithfulness and righteousness. And he would have thought of Isaiah 59 and 17, that the coming Messiah would put on righteousness like a breastplate. And he would have a helmet of salvation. And his feet would be beautiful upon the mountains. He would have thought about gospel shoes. You see, what Paul is saying here with these items of armour, he's using graphic illustrations to teach the truth of what he said in Romans 13 and 14. Christian, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You were saved by trusting in Christ. You are to live and serve and battle against Satan by trusting Christ, by putting on Christ. That's really what he's saying. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is our belt. He is our breastplate. He is our gospel shoes of peace. He is our shield. He is our helmet. He is our sword. He and his word, the scriptures. It's through him that we pray. He's our great high priest this morning. The Lord is our shield. Now, I trust you'll not forget what Lord willing will say in the next few minutes. But if you did forget everything else, remember this. The Lord is your shield. The Lord is your shield. We're not looking to some puny defense that you and I can dream up in our own strength. Our shield is the Lord. Remember Abraham, the father of the faithful, Genesis 15 and 1. You know what the Lord appeared to him and said, Abraham, I am thy shield. I looked up a concordance in the Psalms. It's amazing. Psalm 3, verse 3, David sang, but thou, Lord, art a shield to me. Psalm 18 and 15, he's the shield of my salvation. Psalm 28, 7, the Lord is my shield. Psalm 33, 20, he is our shield. Psalm 59, 11, O Lord, our shield. Can't take time to read all these. Psalm 84, 9, behold, O God, our shield. Psalm 84, 11, the Lord God is a shield. Did you notice when we sang Psalm 115? O Israel, trust in the Lord, he's your shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he's your shield. People, trust in the Lord, he is your shield. Now we could go on into other references. Psalm 119, thou art a shield. Psalm 144 and 2. Proverbs 30, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The Lord is our shield. There's no doubt about it. The Lord is the shield. And that's the wonderful truth. That in every trial of the Christian life and in every battle against Satan, and when Satan comes to oppress and distress and depress you, the Lord is your shield. Trust in him. Trust in him as your shield. You must do that. Having God's armour upon you, you're able to battle and stand against Satan. First of all, in this verse, I must underline the identity of the soldiers. The identity of the soldiers. I know we've covered this, but we must underline it again. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye, underline ye. This is not a shield for everybody. It's only for the Lord's people. Verse 10, Paul started the section, brethren, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's referring to believers. He's your shield. Israel is your shield. House of Aaron is your shield. Believer, he's your shield. Unsaved, he's not your shield. You've never come and trusted Christ as your Savior. He's not your shield. That's the point we're making. The identity of the soldier. Chapter 1 and verse 1 of Ephesians. The saints. The saints. The separated ones. The separated ones. The ones who are called out of the world and called to the Lord. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins just like everybody else. Those who walked according to the course of this world, just like everybody else. Those who were children of wrath, just like everybody else. But in chapter 2, by grace you're saved. Now you've been made alive. You're God's. You're his people. You used to be without hope and without God in the world, but now through Christ you're saved. You're saved. In a sense, he's your shield from eternal hell. So, are you his? The identity of the soldiers. If you are saved, you said, yes, I've trusted Christ as Savior. Well, then you're in a battle. You need a shield. You need to take up this shield. You see, there's something active for you to do. We'll get to that. It's not enough to say, oh yes, the Lord will protect me. Yes, He'll protect you from hell. But if you want to know victory in battle, you need to know what it is to take up the Lord as your shield and to put your trust in Him. So the identity of the soldier. But then I want you to notice in the verse the hostility of Satan. The hostility of Satan. The fiery darts of the wicked. See it there? Literally, it's wicked one. The fiery darts of Satan. We stand against the devil. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, at that period of military history, one of the most fierce weapons were either in two senses. There could be a dart. Now, you don't be thinking of, you know, some of you play the game of darts. I'm not talking about a little dart like that. It's talking about a short spear or a short javelin. And the enemy could get the point there, and around it would put some type of material dipped in pitch or tar. You know, it would burn, the tar that would burn. And they would take that, set it alight, or sometimes they would even hollow out the center and fill it with flammable material. And they would seek to get as close to the advancing armor and throw that javelin-like dart to hit the person. To try and go through the shield, or at least set the shield on fire. Or sometimes they would have arrows, and they would set the man and get ready, the flammable material, and they'd fire a volley of arrows with that tar or pitch. So much so, they don't just think of a little tiny flame. History says they could put so much tar or pitch at the end of some of those darts or arrows that when it hit, it went like a ball of fire. So can you imagine you're fighting and all of a sudden there's these things hitting the ground around you and fire's coming up. And my, if you got an arrow in you and it starts to burn over your clothes, and my, what damage, what danger. That's the idea that Paul has about military battles in those days. And what he's saying is this, Christian, the identity of the soldier's believer, that's what you're going to experience from Satan. You're going to experience Satan's attack that will be so severe. The only illustration you can give is it's like a ball of fire coming to hit you. Hurts. Painful. It can cause extreme damage to you. There's a great danger. The hostility of Satan. Pilgrim's Progress, I trust you've all read it. There's good DVDs you can get on it as well that teach the children and even we adults when you watch it. But Spurgeon described the devil under the name of Apollyon. That's a name given in Revelation. This is what he says. When Pilgrim is now saved, he left the city of destruction, heading for the celestial city. Then Apollyon broke into a grievous rage, saying, I am an enemy to this prince, in other words, Christ. I hate his person. I hate his laws, and I hate his people. That's why the devil's against you, Christian, because you're one of the Lord's people. And I am come out on purpose to stand against you. Prepare yourself to die, for I swear by my infernal den that you shall go no further. Here I will spill your soul. And with that, he threw a flaming dart at Pilgrim's breast. Apollyon made fast at him, throwing darts as thick as hail. The sore combat lasted for about half a day, even till Christian was quite spent. You can almost picture the scene of this foul fiend coming out and standing in front of Pilgrim as he makes his way to heaven. And he's firing these darts. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. Now, Bunyan was describing in those terms, just as Paul does here, the fiery darts, of reality in a Christian's experience. Bunyan wrote his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And in it, he talks of his conversion. And then he describes doubts he had, and deep depression, and deep attacks of the evil one. And he talks about times he had panic attacks, times when he had deep feelings of guilt, that he felt he could never know God's forgiveness. He describes that even when he got down to pray, there were times when the vilest, foulest, filthy language and thoughts and things that he never thought he would have in his mind would enter into his mind. And he felt he was almost gone out of his mind. These awful, evil thoughts. Of course, that was Satan. C.H. Spurgeon described the same. Sometimes when they go down to prayer, there are all kinds of evil thoughts. Of course, Satan would say, how could you be a Christian thinking things like that? Now, Spurgeon pointed this out. Temptation is not sin. A thought flashing into your mind is not sin. Dwelling upon it, that's sin. As Spurgeon graphically put it, you can't stop crows flying over your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair. It's a terrible experience. Bunyan had experiences like that. So did Spurgeon. Now, he wasn't conscious that it was the devil, but then he realized it was. This is the devil seeking to stop me praying. And he would call upon the Lord to deliver him, and he'd set his thoughts upon the Lord. Temptation's not sin. And Christian, you will face fiery darts. You will. The epistle puts it like this. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been feeling the doubts and the fears and the battles and the attacks, and you say, I mustn't be a strong Christian. Listen, Christian, if you've gone on for years and you've never felt battles like this, there's something very strange about your Christian profession. Because the Bible tells me it's not strange for a Christian to be attacked. It's not strange. It's strange if you're not. I'm not saying that attacks upon the mind will be there every day or that, but the devil will come. All the fiery darts. And he'll fire them suddenly. And he'll fire them swiftly. And as David says in Psalm 64, the enemy fire at me secretly. See, archers can hide in the trees. The one with the dart can sneak up and then suddenly fire it. They'll remain subtly. He can come so subtly. He'll make it sound so good. There was a popular song which I wouldn't know the words to, but I just know it was this some years ago. This can't be wrong when it feels so right. Yes, one of the devil's fiery darts. They tell people, if it feels all right, it couldn't be wrong. No, that's Satan. He's subtle. He fired his arrow of greed at the believer Lot. He fired his flaming dart of fear at the apostle Peter. And it hit. And Peter denied the Lord. He fired a dart of disappointment at Mary Magdalene. He fired doubt at Thomas. He fired the arrow of discord and division at the congregation in Corinth. He fired the arrow of materialism and living for this world at Demas. And his arrow hit. Demas didn't have a shield up. He's all kind of arrows. He'll attack our faith in God. That's how he attacks. He'll say, Christian, don't trust in God's sovereignty. God's not sovereign. He's not overruling everything. Listen, he is. But he'll attack to get you to doubt God's sovereignty. He'll attack you to doubt God's scriptures, the promises of God. He'll get you to try and doubt God's Son and God's salvation. These are the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. One soldier, Roman soldier in history, it's recorded that in one battle, he counted after the battle, he had 200 plus darts in his shield. Can you imagine that? 200 darts sticking in his shield. Well, let me hurry on to the identity of the soldier, the hostility of Satan. But what about the activity regarding the shield? Christian, verse 16, you're to take the shield of faith. You see that? Take it. I wonder would someone turn the heat off, by the way. It's really very, very hot. I see a lot of people with their coats off. Thanks, Stephen. Most people I see have coats off and your faces are red. I know mine must be red, but a lot of your face... I'm sorry the thermostat isn't working, but looking down, a lot of people's faces are... You're going. So thanks, Stephen, for that. Right. Look at verse 16, the activity regarding the shield. Taking the shield. You're to take it up. You're to take it. Now notice earlier it says you're to have on the belt, having on the breastplate, having on the shoes. Now it's taking. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is this. Here's a soldier and he's in the barracks. He has the shoes, the belt, the breastplate. He has those on him. But when the battle cry goes up and the enemy's approaching, he takes up the shield. He takes up the sword. He puts on his helmet. In other words, this is actively going out to face the enemy. Going out to face the enemy. You are to take it up. Now, it says the shield. Now, don't you think of a shield like a little round shield? It's not. It's actually the word from door, thoron, from through the door. He's actually carrying a little door around with him. There was at least 4.5 feet high, 2.5 feet wide. This was a large item. And it would enable him with supports in it that he could put his hand round and hold. It was actually like carrying a door. It would have at least 2 layers of wood glued together. It would have on it thick animal hide. But just before the battle, he would keep it soaked in water. The animal hide and the wood. So when he lifted up, the water dripping from it. And when the fiery darts came, you see, when they hit that shield, he could shelter his whole body behind it, 4.5 feet high, 2.5 feet wide. It's like a door. And the water soaking it would quench the fiery darts. That's why it says here, above all. You see that, verse 16? Above all. Now, some misunderstand that and think it means this is the most important. No, what it means is to cover. It covers everything else. See what you mean? Here's the shade, like a door. 4.5 feet between. So it covers you. You're sheltering behind it. That's what above all means. You're sheltering behind the shield when you go to face the devil. What does it mean to take up the shield? What does it mean to actively take up the shield? Well, we sang it 3 times in Psalm 115. Trust in the Lord. He is your shield. You take the Lord as your shield by depending, by trusting in him. Faith in him. It's not faith in faith. It's not faith in yourself. It's not faith that you have the expertise. It's not faith that in your great emotion. It's not, oh, I'm ready to meet Satan now because I've really, really got a strong confidence. No, it's not. It's recognizing your weakness, but recognizing the Lord is strong. He is your shield. And so when Satan hurls his fiery dart against you and he says, you're weak. Yes, I'm weak. But I'm taking up the shield of faith. I'm taking up the Lord's promise that when I'm weak, he is strong. He is strong. when he tells me I'm a sinner, I take up the shield that he is my Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. Maybe you're saying, well, how do I get this faith? I said, faith isn't some emotion you work up. How do you get it? Well, let me put it this way. Maybe you say, well, I'm being defeated with these attacks of Satan. You know what may be wrong? Your shield is too small. Is your shield too tiny? You're not able to shelter upon it. It's too tiny. Now, what I mean by that is your comprehension of God is too small. How do you get faith? How do you increase faith? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You put yourself under the word of God. The more you're in this book, your faith grows. The Holy Spirit applies the word of God and shows you the Lord Jesus Christ. You, when you get into the word, you're soaking your shield in the word of God, and so when you take it up, you're able to stand against Satan. The hostility of Satan, the activity of the shield. But there's an important lesson here I must point out. There's the unity of the soldiers. The unity. This verse is written to a congregation. Oh, I know each of us have our own individual battle to fight, but it's written to a congregation, a corporate people. You all. He's saying, church, congregation, take up your shields. I know what they did in Roman soldiers. They would have metal round what looked like a door, and it had beveled edges. And you know how the Roman soldiers at this stage in their history went into battle? The men would line up at the front. Remember, 4.5 feet by 2.5 feet. And the edges met. They're beveled. It's like a wall. So here's the soldiers in the front row, and the shields are covering their body. They're able to hide behind them and to go forward. They're protected like a solid wall. That's what Paul's saying here. Church, Satan's going to attack the church of God. But you can go forward when you are united. United we stand, divided we fall. It's true spiritually as well for a congregation. You must be united. But what about the archers are firing the arrows with the fire? What about our heads? What about those behind? Well, have you ever seen pictures of how the Roman soldiers fought? The rows. They call it a phalanx. A phalanx they would have. And so you had a row of soldiers in the front, and they've got the shields, like doors, sheltering behind. The couple of rows behind, what do? They lift their shield up, and they put it over their heads. And they put it over the head of the soldier in front, and the soldier behind. And the soldiers at the side hold it to the side. And the ones behind even hold it behind them. And they're like a tortoise, that's what they called it. In military history, they called it a tortoise formation. You know, the tortoise shell puts its wee head in. You can't get at it. Armour. That's what the image is here. Satan is out to destroy the church of God. He's out to destroy a New Testament congregation that seeks to stand for the Lord. How do you stand against Satan? You need to get your shields up. You need to get your shields up. There needs to be that concord. And you know what I thought about this? How appropriate for today in this service. Why? Because we're thinking of the boys and girls. And you think of that phalanx protected by the shields. Put the children in the middle. Put the children in the middle. Protect them. Protect them. The children's meeting, what is it? It's seeking to put the children in the middle. Catherine Booth, wife of the famous General Booth, she could be as outspoken as her husband. Very outspoken at times, yet a godly woman. It said when her daughter was born, she looked into the crib, and with her husband beside her, she said this: "I refuse by God's grace to rear a brat of hell." That's the way she put it. "I refuse by God's grace that I'm going to rear a brat for hell." What she was meaning was, "Lord, give me grace for the children, that I will protect them and shield them." It's only the Lord can ultimately shield them, but we're to lift up the shield. We thought the identity of the soldiers, the Christian, the hostility of Satan, the activity regarding the shield. We thought of the unity of the soldiers. But one last quick thought, the victory. Look what it says in verse 16. "You shall be able to quench." You shall, not you may, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You'll be able to do it. Quench it. Put them out, all of them. There's no tactic, there's no temptation, there's no fiery trial that Satan can fire at a believer. And yes, some believers go through terrible fiery trials. We ought to pray for them. But if they have the Lord as their shield, and they have faith and lift up the shield of faith, they can overcome. May God make us to be victorious.